it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Bloodgrounders podcast. My name is Josh. Hope everyone had a good weekend. Today is going to be a solo podcast. It's going to be something I would like to try to start doing, which is a short solo podcast earlier in the week, and then the usual interviews later in the week. For the most part, usually trying to get about 3 interviews a month, with maybe an off week for interviews with 2 solos. But that's kind of remains to be seen. Peter King in the United States is a NFL journalist, and he has a segment he's always done called Monday Morning Quarterback. So I'm going to call this the Monday Morning Centerback. Very original. And I just kind of want to use it as a way to discuss the weekend's matches. The first half will, you know, the first bit will obviously focus on Barcelona. Given that this is the Bloodgrounders podcast and we are a Barcelona pod, we will start with Barcelona and some of the news from the weekend. The biggest news from the weekend is, of course, the 1-0 Barcelona win that restores the 9-point lead atop the table after Real Madrid's win over Espanyol on Saturday. Barcelona had yet again another 1-0 win. This time it was away at Athletic Club, and it was just one of those weird matches again where Barcelona score, I think, at like the 44th minute. And our 45th minute, Rafinha gets a goal, and then Barcelona just have to hold on for dear life. Despite having more of the possession overall, Athletic Club had 5 shots on target to Barcelona's 2 and 15 shots overall to Barcelona's 10. They committed 13 fouls, had 5 corners. Ter Stegen was unbelievable, and Barcelona just continued to pull these off in the league. It feels like Team of Destiny stuff, if I'm being honest. Like, these are the type of matches where if you're a Real Madrid fan, you just have to watch this just being like, are you kidding me? Like, they keep doing this over and over again. It's very similar to how Arsenal have had multiple results since the new year where they've been down and just claw their way back. These Barcelona matches aren't as thrilling, as in Barcelona don't seem to want to go down. They just go up 1-0 and then hold on for dear life. But given the goal-scoring form of Lewandowski, which we'll talk about in a second, this is kind of the results they have to hope for. They're not going to score a lot of goals at this point if they need to come back. So the defense has been great. They have 8 conceded goals after 25 matches in the league, which is a record. Not surprising. It is funny, though, given their goal scoring or their goal allowing tendencies in European competition. It is funny that in the league, nobody can seem to score on Barcelona, and it's great. And they're going to need that ahead of the Clásico this weekend. 2 missed chances from Robert Lewandowski. I feel bad for him. This is the one thing he was brought in to do, is score chances like this, and missed 2 really quite easy chances that, you know, it didn't come back to bite him, which is nice. Like, it's always nice to be able to miss chances and then just it doesn't actually mean anything because the club just doesn't allow goals. This is going to be something that Barcelona have to do moving forward, right? Like, they're these gritty wins where this isn't something they can stop doing, right? Because it's not like Pedri isn't back yet, Dembele isn't back yet, although we hope that they'll be back. I guess the hope is that they're back for the weekend would be the hope. I'm not actually sure the latest. Let's just look this up live. Dembele. It's just a lot of Dembele transfer rumors, so that's great. PSG are reportedly keen for the man again. Let's see, four Barcelona players are that's just yellow card silliness. It does seem like Pedri might be out, but Dembele probably won't be back till after the international break. So Pedri might be back for this weekend, but it does not look like Ousmane Dembele will be back. A quick update on, I guess we should just call it Barcagate. Real Madrid, for whatever reason, are going to appear in Barcelona's trial. They're going to take a step forward and appear in court as soon as the judge decides to start the trial. They have decided it's time to seek justice. I'm not gonna try to appear like I have complete, like I have a total grasp on why it makes any sense or why Real Madrid feel the need to do this. I don't really even know why they would appear unless they have evidence. It's a little bit strange. I guess it's like if I'm trying to think of the equivalent of this. If Sports Illustrated's soccer podcast was going for, not to compare myself to Sports Illustrated, but you get what I'm saying. If a rival soccer podcast was on trial for something and I just stepped forward and was like, I will now appear in court. It's like, okay, but did anyone ask you to? I don't really understand the significance of that. I do know maybe it messes things up for their little Super League alliance, which would be cool. That'd be great. I would love for them to start going at war with each other instead of being buddy-buddy for the Super League stuff. That would be fun. So I'm not really sure about that. 9-point gap heading into the Clásico on Sunday. This is great. Real Madrid have a midweek fixture. Barcelona do not, because they do not have any European football to play. So they have a full week to rest, train, get ready for the matchup with Real Madrid, which I want to say is a home fixture. It is. Is that the Camp Nou?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's going to be a great time. Let's talk about just kind of some generic weekend football notes. Saturday, Liverpool just completely crapped away all their momentum from the 7-0 win over Manchester United with a 1-0 loss to Bournemouth. It's one of those things where 3 points is 3 points. And you look at like, Liverpool have gone seven. They've scored seven and conceded one in their last two matches. Well, how many points do they have from it? Three. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Just perplexing. Just very, very perplexing. It stinks because if they had continued some sort of dominant form in this, we would have been able to convince ourselves that they had a chance at the Bernabeu. But that just wasn't fun to watch. Like, I watched the second half and they could not get anything going. Bayern and Real Madrid both got confident league wins. Bayern winning 5-3 and Real Madrid winning 3-1 over Espanyol. Real Madrid did have to make a little bit of a comeback, I believe. They were down, let me check the timeline on this. I think they were down within 8 minutes, but before the end of the first half, they were already up 2-1, and then Asensio in the 93rd minutes puts it away on 71% of the possession for Real Madrid to keep the, momentarily lowering into a 6-point gap before Barcelona's win on Sunday further extended it back to the 9-point gap. Dortmund and Schalke draw in the derby, back-to-back, a loss to Chelsea for Dortmund, and then this draw puts Bayern in solo first place in the league, which really stinks. I was kind of hoping that they would be level on points for the Der Klassiker in a couple weeks. I want to say that is on like April 1st. So Dortmund have a match against Köln next week, and then a week after that, or I guess 2 weeks after that, after the international break, they have Bayern. So hopefully, I mean, maybe Bayern will drop points, but probably not. Bayern are right now appearing to be the best team in the world. Sunday was all about Arsenal and Barcelona holding serve, keeping their respective leads at the top of their tables. Barcelona with a 9-point gap at the top of La Liga, and Arsenal with a 5-point gap at the top of the Premier League. Arsenal finally had a match where they weren't having to come back from 2-0 down, which was congratulations to their fans for that, for not having to second guess. They had 3 goals in the first half and it was just completely over. Manchester United looked terrible. Just Casemiro red card, 0-0 draw against Southampton, and their old boss Jose Mourinho missing a chance to tie Inter for second in Serie A. Inter lost on Friday. Milan play today. They could go level with Inter. Inter would still be ahead on goal differential, but really big missed chance for Roma to tie for second place. There was a potential for a 3-way tie at second place in Serie A, which is actually like a pretty competitive race for top four. The league itself is like Napoli are miles ahead at this point. Let me actually look at the standings to get a... Yeah, Napoli are 18 points ahead with a 44 goal differential in the league. But the battle for Champions League spots is very fascinating. So Roma, Milan, Lazio, and Inter are all separated by 3 points. And then 6th and 7th are Atalanta and Juventus. Atalanta is only 5 points behind 4th place. Juventus is a little bit farther because of their points deduction, obviously. But super fascinating race for top four in Italy, as well as Tottenham's win does put the gap back in front of Liverpool. Again, just a hilarious malfunction for Liverpool. Like a great chance to keep the pressure on Newcastle and Tottenham, and they just completely blow it. And now there is a 6-point gap, although they do have a match in hand back from Tottenham. Newcastle have 2 matches in hand. So fascinating races for top four all across Italy and the Premier League. Not so interesting in La Liga right now. The race for top four is, I guess Betis technically have a chance to make things interesting with Sociedad. They're only 3 points back. So that's somewhat fascinating. The 3 points back of Atletico and Real Sociedad. Looking ahead, we have Champions League fixtures this week. The Champions League, I'm not going to lie, I haven't really gotten, it hasn't been like the thrilling, crazy results that we would hope for so far. I'm hoping this week is a little more interesting. Porto are hosting Inter. They are down 1-0. And then City are hosting Leipzig, level at 1. The Porto and the City match have the most potential for craziness, especially Porto. Wednesday's matches are Real hosting Liverpool up 5-2 and then Napoli hosting Frankfurt up 2-0. You would expect, both of those teams are stronger hosting with big aggregate leads. So if anything crazy is going to happen, it's going to be on Tuesday. And then this weekend, of course, we have some fascinating fixtures as well, but we will talk about those later this week. So everybody, thanks for listening to the Blaugranas podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, Google Play, anywhere you get your podcasts, and I will talk to you later. Thanks. Mm-hmm.